Welcome to our South Carolina lead Galvin's Ferry Stump Mini Pod. I'm Gavin Jackson, and we're taping this episode following the historic event here on the banks of the Little Petey River. For the first time in the event's 143-year history, we heard from Democratic presidential candidates, including former Vice President Joe Biden, South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, and Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar. Joining me to discuss all the action from the bluegrass and some chicken bog eating, sounds like we're in Iowa, but we're in South Carolina, to some stump speaking, is Jamie Lovegrove with the Post and Courier and Meg Kennard with the Associated Press. Guys, welcome. Here we are at the stump.
Hello and good evening.
What a night.
Here we are. It's all cleaned up now. We're sitting on the front porch listening to the crickets and semi-trucks pass by.
The way it's meant to be. The true sounds of Galvin's Ferry, South Carolina.
We're here bringing you the good stuff well after it's done. So, Meg, I want to talk about this. You know, including these presidential candidates was a big event today for the Galvin's Ferry stump. Like we said, they haven't done this before. And the last time I covered the stump was in spring 2014. We had the likes of Vincent Shaheen running for governor and Bakari Sellers running for lieutenant governor. And I read back a story I published back in 2014, and it said there's about 100 people there.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, these are different situations today, but what was it like out here today, out in the sun, here in September, with these presidential candidates out here for the first time?
There was a big energy here today. This was, as Bill de Blasio said today, the center of the political universe. Speaking in a bit of hyperbole, but he may not have been wrong. There were estimates of 2,500 people here tonight, which is a lot for Galvin's Ferry, an unincorporated community here in Horry County that ordinarily is mostly just what we're hearing right now, crickets and some semi-trucks going down Highway 501 between Myrtle Beach and Columbia. But seriously, though, there were a lot of folks out here tonight to hear from these candidates to celebrate Democratic politics in South Carolina, which of late hasn't had a whole lot of celebration just in terms of winning offices, although in 2018 there were, of course, a few wins, Joe Cunningham being some of the most notable. But this whole parking lot that we're looking out on right now that's completely empty was filled with people selling their wares and merchandise, celebrating different candidates, and sitting in folding chairs and listening to all the candidates come and give their literal stump speeches from behind the pine stump. And there was a lot of energy here in Galvin's Ferry.
Yeah, Jamie, looking at that, you know, who did you feel like the crowd was really amped up about seeing? Like, we did see a lot of different campaigns having their booths out here. You saw a lot of Pete signs. You saw a lot of Biden signs. And it was a good time for everyone to actually use their stump speech and get away with saying, hey, I'm going to keep talking my stump speech, even though people hear it all the time. But maybe not a lot of these Horry County voters have heard it, you know. So this is something we saw a lot of excitement with people from coming as far as Pawleys Island and other places
right, to
come hear these guys.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, all of the candidates here had a good number of supporters. Certainly former Vice President Biden, who has led all of the polls in South Carolina, may have had the most supporters, but there was no lack of enthusiasm for everyone. I talked to a lot of Pete Buttigieg supporters here tonight who were very excited, including even some folks who, you know, consider themselves former Republicans, and said that Buttigieg was what they viewed as an option that would give them an alternative to President Trump in 2020, and we're hoping to see him as the nominee, particularly praising his military background. You know, a lot of folks were just enthusiastic to see so many candidates. I saw a lot of people wearing, you know, stickers for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, glad to accept those from the volunteers here. You know, we had tents for all the candidates, not just the ones who were here, but several who were not here as well and couldn't make it, including Bernie Sanders, who had to withdraw because of a strained voice, which I think we could all kind of hear during the debate last week. Tulsi Gabbard was supposed to be here too, and she had to withdraw as well. You know, I saw some Booker folks handing out stuff and various other campaigns. So it's really, you know, as Russell Holiday says, and as her father used to say, that the Holidays, of course, are the family that has been putting this on for so many generations. You know, this is about eyeball to eyeball politics, not just face to face, eyeball to eyeball. You want to be
eyeball,
up close and personal.
The retail politics we're talking about in South Carolina.
You want to see into these candidates' souls a little bit and get a sense for who they are.
And notice when they were going to shift their stance, their glare, and notice if they're, you know, shifting on some sort of stance there. And Jamie, you talked about Republicans and Pete Buttigieg, and I want to bring this up before we get Meg back in here, but I did talk to a gentleman also who was a Republican for Pete, and he said, you know, I said, well, you know, what makes Pete so much more attractive than, say, maybe some other centrists like Joe Biden? He's like, well, he brought the whole age thing. And he said, Pete is young enough to be able to see any policy he puts into place actually come to fruition in some senses, and in, you know, longer down the line. So it's interesting to hear a little bit about that. But Meg, we didn't hear much about Joe Biden's age today, unless you heard otherwise from people.
Well, no, we didn't directly. Although that is something that Mayor Pete did reference in kind of a sideways sort of way, and in noting that he is of a different generation, and he brought up JFK, and at the time when he was elected in 1960, JFK was thought of as a very young candidate. He was several years older than Mayor Pete is now, it's worth pointing out. But still, you know, Mayor Pete was up there saying that he represents a different kind of viewpoint on the issues that are important in this Democratic primary. So no, there were no overt slights on Joe Biden, for sure. But, you know, there was a reference to a generational differences in terms of approaching the issues that all these candidates were talking about.
And Jimmy, did you hear directly from any of the voters out there today about Joe Biden's age being an issue, especially in light of what we heard from the debate and that, you know, attempted slide from Julian Castro about, you know, you forgot to remember, you didn't remember this from 2 minutes ago.
Right.
Anyone bringing that up to your knowledge today?
I didn't hear from anyone, and it should be noted that, you know, a good chunk of the crowd here was older than Joe Biden.
Correct.
You know, that doesn't always necessarily, you know, I have talked to older voters around South Carolina who still say, you know, I'm 80 years old. I don't think I should be president of the United States.
Right.
And so I would, you know, like to see someone younger in there. But, you know, as we've seen in poll after poll, that has not really been seen by so many voters as a liability. You know, if anything, a lot of voters seem to see it as an asset, that experience. It's always a two-sided coin. You know, there's in fact, when we look at some of the polls that we've done, and we ask voters both what are the reasons you're supporting Joe Biden if you're a supporter, and what are the reasons you're opposing him if you're not a supporter, age and experience are often the same, you know, for a supporting and opposing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is interesting to see that. And he was, you know, it seems like every time he comes to South Carolina, he gets back into a little bit of the form that we knew of him back when he was the vice president, or even when he was a senator.
He's comfortable here.
Well, yeah, he got to say, "Hey, I'm back."
Yeah,
right. He's been here before. One who could say that.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
He's spoken from this same stump in 2006, and he referenced his long-term relationship with Fritz Hollings, with whom he served in the Senate for decades. So South Carolina is and will always be a place where Joe Biden is incredibly comfortable, and he was certain to remind this audience of that today and say, "Look, I've been here before. I've spoken to you guys before, and I'm not a new commodity to you. You don't need to get to know me." And that's always been something that's important to him when he speaks in South Carolina.
Right. And it's hard to overstate the level of celebrity that Fritz Hollings has, particularly here at Gallants Ferry, where he started coming in 1954, mm-hmm. When he first started running for political office. Ended up coming for more than 50 years. They had a big 50-year celebration with him in 2004. Yeah. It was, you know, the venue of some of his final public appearances mm-hmm. before passing away earlier this year. So, you know, having that kind of connection, it is what introduced Joe Biden to the state. It is what gave him so many of the relationships that are coming mm-hmm. in handy now. And it's a pretty good name to be able to drop from the
Absolutely.
Stump.
Yeah, definitely going through the holiday offices. I mean, you just saw photo after photo with mm-hmm. Fritz Hollings in there. And a lot of Joe Biden memorabilia on the walls too. So
certainly
a lot of going on there. But speaking of heavy campaigning in South Carolina, can we talk about some of the candidates who are here tonight that haven't done as much campaigning in South Carolina? Mm-hmm. We see Senator Amy Klobuchar, mm-hmm. Who's really kind of made a return here. She's probably been here like a month ago. Mayor Bill de Blasio hadn't been here since like Democratic weekend in June.
Right.
Meg, they seem to kind of cluster on these bigger events. Obviously, this one's a one-off for the first time they're mm-hmm. doing this here at Galvin's Ferry in a presidential election year cycle. But what's the messaging here that their campaigns are maybe sending by saying, hey, we're only kind of coming around these big events, whereas you got your other people like Mayor Pete Buttigieg, who's doing like, you know, multiple day swings around things like this. How do you gauge that, and what do you deduce from that when you look at that campaign style?
Well, a lot of it boils down to money, quite frankly. And Mayor Pete has been very successful in the fundraising department for the last couple of quarters. And so he's been able to very recently utilize a lot of that capital to expand his footprint in South Carolina, to staff up finally. This is something we were talking about several months ago, I think. When is Mayor Pete really going to staff up in South Carolina? Well, it's happening, and he's doing that. And as that happens, he is going to be spending more time here, as evidence evidenced by his events earlier today and his events, more events in South Carolina tomorrow. So he's certainly doing that. But for Senator Klobuchar and for Mayor de Blasio, you're absolutely right. They haven't spent as much time here. And so for them to be able to come to one of these events that still is a very down-home, touchy-feely, personal event, yet still there were 2,500 people here, every national media outlet that's covering the campaign. So that is a big exposure bump for them, more so than if they had just had, you know, one day of their own events just by themselves somewhere in South Carolina. Mm-hmm. So they're still trying to maximize whatever sort of exposure that they're getting, even though they are at a very, you know, down-home, personalized kind of event like today.
Yeah, are we going to see more of those campaigns, those lower-tier candidates going through South Carolina, Jamie? I mean, because it's after Labor Day now. We've already seen some drop out over the summer. I mean, you have to start wondering, like, not necessarily who's next, but what the plan is at this point.
I think you do have to start wondering a little bit about who's next. I think some of them
will be coming
soon. You know, de Blasio, I think, has said that if he doesn't make the next debates, that he'll take a good look at dropping out. Mm-hmm. You know, he seems to enjoy himself on the trail. I've covered him a decent amount in the trips that he has made here, and he came here before even launching his campaign, and I have certainly not covered him as mayor of New York City, but by all of the accounts and all of the New York reporters who sometimes come down here and follow mm-hmm. him, talking to them, you know, it seems like he's much happier when he's on the presidential campaign trail down right. here than
he gets better
is
press, I think, too.
Although there are all those response tweets about, like, well, he's missing in action.
Yeah.
You know,
right, but I think there's, you know, some critics of his in New York that are more than happy to see him gone. Mm-hmm. But you know, he started out by not having too bad of a time here. He actually got endorsed by the mayor of Orangeburg at one of his trips that I was at very early on. Who, you know, that's a very important place for Democratic mm-hmm. voters, yeah. Orangeburg. And so, you know, he had a little bit of momentum, but it is, you know, somewhat hard to sustain. He also does have some staffers down here and mm-hmm. some people that are trying to get him going. But it's just, you know, as so many candidates have seen, it is very hard to do in a field this large yeah. To get your name out there. And with the press so divided up, only at these types of events where you have multiple candidates once can the press even physically show up to all your events.
We don't have clones quite yet.
Yeah, we are.
Well, then
only
you even saw, like, you know,
people.
He was almost a victim of the speaking schedule today because
yeah,
he was last.
Tough.
I mean, yes,
yep.
the cameras were still rolling, but yep. the people mm-hmm. were. I mean,
yeah,
Joe
no,
Biden was like third
exodus.
To last, and then he just.
There was
got
a noticeable
then,
exodus after
yes.
yeah. Vice President Biden
yes.
finished.
There, there was, a, you know, some crowd stuck around, and he still got plenty of applause. And he may have had the most sort of South Carolina centric, you know, speech talking about it being, you know, this great historical night and talking about the chicken bog and boiled peanuts. I think he joked that he was going to open a chicken bog and boiled peanuts joint in New York City.
Well, yeah. To be fair, I mean, I don't know if I have anything to do with this, but I did have a sit down with Mayor de Blasio. Luckily, one of the few people, and I said, you know, do they have boiled peanuts in New York? Do they have chicken bog in New York? And he said no, but I mean, in New York's an international city. That, you know, that includes South Carolina,
the independent so, Republic of Ori,
yes,
I believe,
you
where we
You're
are.
A footnote in presidential history now, Gavin. There
know.
You go.
We all know how exciting people are about you know, Southern cuisine. So there might be a boiled peanut joint going up to New York soon. But you can see that interview with Mayor de Blasio, as well as our coverage of the stump on This Week in South Carolina at 7:30 on Friday and 11:30 a.m. on Sunday morning.
Before you know it, all the New Yorkers are going to be claiming that they have the best boiled peanuts. Some Brooklyn boiled peanuts.
I sense a tweet fiasco.
I mean, it's delicious, but let's remind at the same time, it's just salt, and there's a reason why maybe we're not as healthy as
okay,
the rest
now,
of the country.
Let's not
get insulting with
your
regional cuisine.
Hey, I mean,
it's a contentious topic. We take on all the most polarizing issues.
Like
true.
I said, it's
South
the
Carolina
best place
here.
To find chicken bog here in the PD. And just wrapping up, guys, anyone stand out to you? Any zingers stand out for you today from these candidates on the stage? I can think of one maybe from Amy Klobuchar.
So mine was from Pete Buttigieg.
Okay.
One stood out to me. You know, he was talking about, he's of course a Navy combat veteran, and he was talking about, you know, the fact that President Trump and Republicans are likely to call whoever the nominee is a bunch of names. And he said, when I'm the nominee, you know, I'll be able to take it. I've faced worse incoming than a tweet full of typos, was I think
that's
the
pretty
quote.
Good.
That was pretty good, and it you know, sets up the stakes and the fight that there is going to be whoever the nominee mm-hmm. is
yeah.
for the Democratic
Party.
Because
we did see from the president really attacking his first time really attacking Pete dealing with his height the other day.
Right.
So,
right.
height. Meg.
Yeah, I think that Senator Klobuchar kind of got one off when she referenced Mark Sanford, who was in the crowd today. He was here. Republicans are welcome to attend the stump, but they are not allowed to speak from it. But Senator Klobuchar did reference him, perhaps not even knowing that he was in the crowd.
I don't think she knew.
Saying that she was comparing the differences between Minnesota and South Carolina and said, well, you know, our governor's never gone hiking on the Appalachian Trail. And then she said, well, actually, yours hasn't either. And that, that got
he,
a nice little laugh.
I had my eyes
nice
on
laugh.
Him. He was in the back talking to reporters as he normally is. And he did not appear to hear that particular line. So I think he escaped that one. You know, what we should note that, yes, he was here. And I talked to Russell a little about it afterwards. And she said that she did invite him when she ran into him at a Charleston restaurant a few months ago. Didn't expect that he was going to show up. But as she quoted her father, Monroe Holliday, who used to put this on, you know, he was asked on the Today Show if he invites Republicans. And he says, of course, I invite Republicans. They're not allowed to speak. But they need to come. How else are they going to see democracy in action?
That's right. That's
so,
right.
There you go. Some good Democratic barbs there.
Well, very good. Anything else you guys wanted to add? I think we kind of covered all of our bases tonight.
I think we have. It was a great event. Speaking with Russell Holliday afterwards, she said that she was very pleased with all of this. And it's a nice spotlight for the tiny community of Gallivan's Ferry to really have this many people, this much attention, and really be able to show off what it is that they've been doing so well for so long, which is having this up-close personal take on politics.
All right. Well, thank you very much to Meg Kennard with the Associated Press and Jamie Lovegrove and all the tractor trailers driving down 501 tonight.
501 just speeding by. And actually, that was, you know, one thing. I was talking to Mandy Powers Norell a little bit earlier, who is, of course, state representative from Lancaster. And she, you know, she pointed out, sort of one of the magic moments of this is when you're driving on 501 and there's not a car in sight, and then all of a sudden you hit this mass of cars turning into the Pecan Grove where people are parking their cars. It's quite a thing to see.
Well, and I was telling Meg, I'm just glad it's, you know, we have calm weather this time of year versus last year when we were dealing with being over in these parts of the state covering the hurricane and all the aftermath of Hurricane Florence.
Once the sun went down, it was nice.
We dodged a bullet, and there was a storm that was kind of threatening us, too. So
we're good.
Everything worked
made
out.
It through.
The South Carolina Lead is one of many ways SCETV wants to help keep you informed. Check out the latest news and live streams on SCETV.org. Listen to coverage from South Carolina Public Radio and watch This Week in South Carolina, a show where I talk with the newsmakers of the week on SCETV, Fridays at 7:30 p.m. and Sundays at 11:30 a.m. All of that, this podcast, and more is available on SCETV's Super Easy Choose app and SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. Subscribe to us, and we'll have a new episode for you every Tuesday on Apple Podcasts. Search us easily on your Android, the NPR One app, or wherever you find podcasts. Also, be sure to rate and review us on iTunes. Follow us on Instagram at @SCLeadPod. You can see photos from the studio, on assignment, and of course, our dank memes. We're also on Twitter with the same handle at @SCLEDEPOD. We have swag, sticker swag that is. Send us a direct message on Twitter or Instagram with your address, and we'll send one your way. Email questions, comments, or your gripes or emojis to scled@scetv.org. South Carolina Lead is produced in partnership with South Carolina ETV, South Carolina Public Radio, and a special thanks to the Post and Courier and the Associated Press. Our producer is A.T. Shire. Sean Birch is our supervising producer. Tom Posey is our executive producer. This episode was recorded and produced outside of the PD Farms General Store in Gallivan's Ferry, on September 16th, 2019. I'm Gavin Jackson. Thanks for listening.